could stand again. As we look at this week, Wednesday, time of prayer, we begin this year focusing on growing in God. Challenge you to find 30 minutes for the next 30 days. It's spending time with Him, dedicating time with Him. A few years ago, I was on an airplane that, because of some nasty crosswinds, they had us circling for a while to get all the bearings in place. And then when it came time to land, the pilot came on and said, "This will probably be the fastest and steepest landing that you will hopefully ever experience, but our time is now and we're landing quick." And so we went from circling for a while to plunging toward the earth and landed safely, and we were thankful. That's kind of how I'm going to preach tonight. I'm going to circle for a bit, then I'm going to land it in a hurry, but allow me to circle a little bit to gain bearings, because I am excited about the power of God's Word. I want to leave you with something that is life-changing, that you're going to need, that you can use, that God will use in your life to do something great. And over the next couple Sundays, we're going to talk about this, and for lack of any other better title, we're just talking about surviving 2016. Things we need from God's Word. I'm reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. "Therefore, put on the full armor of God." He doesn't say pick which piece is best. He says put it all on. "So that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after having done everything to stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." And I want to focus on this verse tonight, verse 17. "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Verse 17, those first few words, "Take the helmet of salvation." And with God's help, I want to talk about this simple idea. And when I say it, it may seem humorous now, but when you leave here tonight, it's going to mean something totally different. Don't lose your head. Don't lose your head. Turn to your neighbor, look at him, tell him, don't lose your head. Don't lose your head. Lord, I need your help so much to convey this idea. God, so powerful, so life-changing. God, help me to speak clearly. Help me to speak in a way that just brings this home. Help us, God, tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As you're seated, turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them, I want to survive this year. And you may be seated. I know there's a lot of people sick. I know there's a lot of people not here. I'm glad that you're here. And again, I want you to leave here blessed. I want you to leave here challenged. I want you to leave here glad that you came. You're complicated. Turn to somebody and tell them that. You're complicated. You have driving forces within you that can cause you to respond to the exact same situation in totally different ways. Same you, same situation, and yet there are things within you that God created in you that can look at a situation and drive you to respond in two opposite ways. You get in your car on an icy road, and your head says, don't drive too fast, take it slow, don't even think about doing loop-de-loos, or what do you call them? You know, down this abandoned, icy road, you drive safe, 10 and 2, carefully. Your heart says, Whee! Two totally different directions. Your head says, don't you dare say that out loud. Don't you even think about saying that out loud. What does your heart say? Oh, they need to know this. Oh, they need to hear this. This is what is needed. They hurt me, and I'm going to let them know that they hurt me because they're not going to hurt me again. This would feel so much better. Your head says, don't eat all of that. Don't eat that whole thing. Your heart says, oh, but it would make me feel so much better. You're complicated. You're complicated. One person, but yet there is this battle inside of us for who's in charge. One person, but yet there is forces in us that pull against each other, and we live our life with this internal tension between our head and our heart, between what we know and what we feel. This tension inside all of us. That my head represents what I know. It's factual. It's based on truths, regardless of circumstances. It's based on things that I know are true, no matter if they cause me pain or pleasure. They are absolutes. They are true. That is where wisdom comes from. My heart represents what I feel. It's emotional. It's feelings. It's based on what is around me. It's based on who is around me. It's based on how I feel in the moment. And they are both part of me, but yet they can pull against each other. I don't feel like exercising, but yet my brain and my mind says that's exactly what I need to do. I don't feel like eating healthy foods, but yet my mind says that is what is best. That there is this tension in our natural lives, and it is a tension in our spiritual life as well. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like getting up in the morning and praying. But I know that in my mind, that which supersedes my feelings, I know that is exactly what I need to do. There are times when I don't feel like coming to church, and I'm the one preaching. I don't feel like it. My emotion says I'm tired. My emotion says I'm weary. My emotion says, you know, no one's going to do anything anyway. You know, we'll just play a tape. We'll just do this over again. It's my emotions that try to pull away, but yet my mind knows, hey, this is a message that needs to be taught. This is a message that needs to be heard. We've all been in services where we didn't feel like worshiping. We didn't feel like it, but yet our mind in that wisdom that supersedes how we feel in the moment says that this needs to happen. You can break through those feelings. You can break past those things that are trying to tell you not to move to where you know you need to move. You're complicated. You're complicated. There's a battle. And the problem doesn't come from the expression of both, because God made you that way. God put emotions in you for a reason. God gave you a mind for a reason. It's not that one exists and one shouldn't. There's a harmony, but we need to know the place for each. And in the problem isn't in the expression. The problem is when we choose the direction. When we allow our emotions to drive our actions. When we allow that pursuit for what is best for me or how I want to feel in the moment to decide our direction. We can look back at our lives, and I think all of us, if we're honest, would look back and say that the decisions that hurt us most were heart decisions, not head decisions. It was decisions that we made in the moment that we wanted to feel better. They wanted to satisfy something in us. It wanted to reach out and become part of something, to feel like you were a part of something, or to do or to cross a line that would allow you to experience a feeling or an emotion that in the moment you thought, that's what I want, that's what I desire, even though our mind was telling, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Whether it be a relationship or a purchase made or habits started, decisions that we said we'd never do, all of a sudden we find ourselves feeling that it's okay in the moment. We allow our emotions, we allow our feelings to take and become a guide. It's those decisions we look back in our life and we think, what was I thinking? And the truth is, you weren't. There was no thought involved. It was all heart decision, all emotion, all what was best for me in the moment. And when we allow our hearts to lead, we find ourselves wandering all over the place as our whims change. Because I can feel strongly about something one day and then feel totally different the next. I can feel great one day and then feel depressed the next. It can lead us all over the place. And yet, we live in a culture that encourages us to allow our heart and our emotions to lead. We live in a day and an age where we are advertised to and we are told to and we are sold against. This is what you need. They affect our emotions. How many have ever, you don't have to raise your hands, but I know people, and I'm married to some of them, that have cried at commercials. It's an emotional response. It's a heartstring that's pulled. You really need this. Oh, this would make you feel better. This would make you happier. This would make you fit in. It tugs at our emotions. Our culture encourages us to just follow your heart. Let your heart be your guide. And we see movie after movie and sitcom after sitcom where people make stupid decisions and yet it seems to all work out. We'll break the logic, we'll break the truth, we'll break the principles, but we allowed our heart to guide us and it all ended happily ever after. And then the end comes and the credits roll and we are left feeling, why that worked out for them, why can't it work out for me? That we live in a culture that encourages us to seek what makes you happy. Seek what brings you joy. If you're not happy there, get up and leave. If you're not feeling fulfilled there, then just get up and go. And it encourages us again and again in the pressure to just find and discover and lose your life in the fulfillment and the pursuit of what makes us feel good. And so we live in a world where people seek happiness, seek fulfillment, seek the emotional completeness, only to find that after that becomes their first and foremost, that all they're left with is brokenness and heartache and regrets. I wish I would have. I wish I would have. I wish I would have thought. I wish I would have waited. I wish I would have known what I knew I should do, but yet my heart led me. The scriptures are clear when it comes to our emotions and how God gave us emotions, God for a purpose, but the scriptures are clear that they warn us that if we allow them to be our guide and our lead, that they'll lead us not to where we want to go, but to dangerous places. Look at what Jeremiah writes, Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? You know, we tell somebody, your heart, say, your emotions will lie to you. Tell them, your emotions will lie to you. How many have ever thought something was true and you felt it and you felt all the emotions of as if it were true and all of the things and you began to act as if it were true and to make decisions based upon it were true and then to come to find out later that it wasn't true? Our emotions are powerful. I remember one time at camp we did a thing where it was gross. We acted like people were eating garbage, and they weren't. It was just seven-cup salad that was being served at lunch, but they were gagging, and you know, we had them acting like they were eating garbage. It was camp, church camp, and the thing of it is that it was an emotional thing, and people were, you know, gagging and just doing all these things, and we had four people in the audience throw up over the fact that somebody else was eating perfectly fine, delicious seven-cup salad or whatever it was that they would be eating later. But there was that emotional connection, and that caused them to respond to something that wasn't true. And Jeremiah says, hey, your emotions are going to lie to you. Your emotions can't be trusted. Your emotions are not what you need to lead from. Jesus says this in Mark 7. He says, look, it is from within. Out of a person's heart. Look what comes from the heart. Look what comes from the emotions. That evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. That's what Jesus was saying. Hey, follow your heart, follow your emotions, let your emotions be your guide, let how you feel be your guide, and this is where it takes you. This is where it leads. The pursuit of just that happiness, the pursuit of what is best for me, the pursuit beyond what I know to be true, but based upon the moment of how I feel. When we let our emotions, when we let our feelings dominate our actions, problems arise. So what do? How do we move through this life? That is why God gave you a head. There's that other part of you. In Scripture, the head represents authority. The head represents leadership. The head represents wisdom. It represents the direction that we need to go. It goes beyond how we feel in the moment. It may be the painful decision, but it's the right decision. It may be the one that costs more, but it is the one that is best for us. It may be the one that goes against how we feel in the moment, but it is the one that we know is truth and we need to follow. It represents the authority and what is right. We see all the way through Scripture that the head was used as that symbol. It was the symbol of that which should lead. The priests, they were anointed, but the oil was poured over their head to show and to demonstrate the authority and the leadership that was given to them. When Samuel anointed David king, it says that he poured oil over his head, representing that David was chosen by God to lead. Here is a symbol of who is in charge. It's not an emotional decision, but it is one that represents truth and the authority. It's not emotions, but it's truth that leads us forward. It's not how I feel, but it's what I know above and beyond. It's the authority. Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing, not of your heart, not of your emotions, but of your mind. Then you will be able to, and he names two other mind things, to test and to approve, to weigh out, to think about, to logic, to know, to understand what God's will is, regardless of how I feel, regardless of my circumstances, regardless of whether or not it agrees with me in the moment. But when I am allowing my mind to be renewed in Him, the truth and the direction that I should go begins to become apparent as I allow that to work in me, in His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Philippians chapter 2 says it this way, let this mind be in you, which also was also in Christ Jesus. That when we have a mind after Him, when we have that in our thought process above and beyond what we feel, above and beyond what our circumstances say, but the truth in that God is able to speak to us in that way. The circumstances may say this world and my world is falling apart, it's hopeless, but my mind that is focused and my mind that is like the mind of Christ says that God is still in control. And so this battle between our heart, the way I feel, and what I know to be true is a battle that continues. It's going to be, and there's going to be a fight. That when we face a circumstance or we come up against something, that my emotions say one thing and my mind says another. There's going to be a fight. And that is why God gave us protection. When it seems like our mind is going to lose, when we're up against a fight, when our emotion seems like, oh, we're going to take this one, we're going to make one more bad decision, we're going to go with our heart, we're going to go with what feels right, and it seems like our mind is going to lose, that God, in His armor, in His protection, He says, I'm giving you something so that you don't lose your head. I'm giving you something so that those emotions in you don't override, but I want to give you protection. I want to give you something that can lead you and guide you to where I want you to go. And in Scripture, we read this, that in verse 17, He says, take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. Now, please understand, I want to go a little deeper here and press our knowledge here a bit. Then I want to go back to what we said before, that in Scripture, the head was the representation of authority. The head represented who was in charge. It represented that which is what we're going to follow, that which set the rules, that which direction we're going to follow. The head was the authority. And He says, I'm giving you the helmet of salvation. And then God puts it all together so beautifully. Because in Acts chapter 2, we read that on the day of Pentecost, when it had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared unto them divided tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And you've seen the diagrams, you've seen the pictures, that I don't know what it was like, but there was something that rested upon not their heart, but there was something that rested upon their head. And as if God was saying, I want to give you a visual example of what the Holy Spirit truly is. The Holy Spirit isn't just some emotional, let's just get worked up, let our emotions take us over, and we'll get all hyped up and amped up, and all of a sudden we're speaking gibberish. It is not that. The Holy Spirit, the salvation that God gives us, isn't just something that we get all just nervous about and we feel good and it's just a good feeling. But it represents, He said, let me give you the picture of what is happening. The Holy Spirit is a transfer of authority. It is a transfer of leadership. It is a transfer of wisdom. It is a transfer of who is in control. Yes, it's emotional. Yes, we feel the power of God upon our life, but it is not a heart decision. It is the mind of Christ becoming our mind when we say, okay, God, I've transferred me over to you. I've transferred, and you now are the authority. You now are the one in charge. You now are the mind that I will follow. You are the one that gives me wisdom. You are the one that I need to lead to as I seek in your direction for my life. It represents that transfer of authority. Who is in charge? And those of you who have received the gift of the Holy Ghost know exactly what I'm talking about. That is then, and it is now, the only way to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's not about, well, let's play the right song, let's get all the right people, and if we sway just right and we sweat just enough, then it's going to happen. It's when in your heart you say, okay, God, I am transferring complete authority over to you. Here is my head. Here is everything. And it is represented by, I am no longer in charge. I am no longer king here. I am no longer the one that is calling the shots. That has been transferred to my God. That has been transferred to my King. And in return, I am experiencing the gift of salvation. It's the only way to receive it. And I've seen people in the quietest of terms allow God to fill them with the Holy Ghost. And just over there, just so quiet, so peaceful. It's not a noise thing. It's an authority thing. I've seen people jump up and do backflips almost, and you know, and receiving it. It's not a hyperactive thing. It's not an energy thing. It's an authority thing. I have also, and let me preach here, that speaking in tongues is not the Holy Ghost. It's an authority thing. It's a transfer. And in all honesty, I've seen people come down to an altar and cry and snot and snort and speak in tongues and go back to the exact same life that they had when they walked in here. Don't fool yourself. The Holy Spirit is an authentic transfer of authority. It is not some physical manifestation. That's the evidence. It is the evidence, but that is not what it is. That is why in the scriptures we read that when there is the Spirit living in you, there is fruit. There is a change in action. There is a change in direction. That there is love. There's joy. There's peace. There's long suffering. Long suffering isn't an emotional satisfying gift. Goodness. All of those fruits of the Spirit. What happened? It's I've changed ownership. I've changed ownership. I am no longer allowing my emotions to guide me. I am no longer allowing even my own mind or wisdom. But now I am following His guidance, His mind. The mind of Christ is now in me. And when I face a situation that my emotions would go, we're going to lose it. We're going to die. We're going to go over the edge. And even my mind would say, okay, I'm trying to figure it out, and I don't see any way through it. I don't see any way through it. The mind of God in me reminds me that I am still the God of the impossible. I am still the God that is in control. I am the God that split the Red Sea. I am the God that took down Jericho's walls. I am the God that made a way where there was no way. And even though emotionally you're saying, I don't see it, and even in your own mind you don't see it, I have placed in you because you have transferred authority. Now, do you understand when he says, I've given you the helmet of salvation as a protection against your mind? That when we feel that an attack is coming, that we're going to be overrun, that we're going to go down the wrong road, he says, oh, lean back against into the armor and go back to transferring authority to the one that is able. Go back to transferring authority, not to your mind, but to the mind of God in you. Let it be renewed. Let it be renewed. It's about transferring authority. You have the helmet of salvation. Don't lose your head. Don't lose your head. Allow the armor that God has given you to do what it was intended to do. It gives direction. Changes us. We see the fruit of the Spirit. It gives direction. Luke says this is what when they bring you into the synagogues. And the rulers and authorities, when they bring you before, it says, don't even worry about how you will speak in your defense. Why? Or what you say. For the Holy Spirit, the salvation, that mind that God has placed in you will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. It's that direction that comes from Him. It's that direction and wisdom that comes from Him. And when we face something, when we go up against something, that we take the helmet of salvation and we take that and we apply it to where it is needed. What protects my head? What protects my thought? What protects what I know to be right is the same thing that saves me. The transfer of authority that will lead me to God's will. With all of that said, let me bring this home. 2016 is going to be an emotional year. You're going to face situations where you're going to feel like doing the wrong thing. You're going to find yourself feeling like you don't want to do those things that you know you should do. You're going to be in situations where emotionally you're going to be pressed. where your heart is going to say, I want to do this. I'm going to go here. I want to say this. You're going to be in situations and challenged, even as a follower of Christ, that there are things and steps you know you need to take. And your emotions say, I don't feel like doing it. Don't want to do it. Goes against what would be pleasurable in the moment. And it feels like your head is about to lose. In a very practical, very 21st century way, what we do in those moments is simply go back to the armor that we've been given. I know of no better way than in the moment that we feel like, I know I'm going to step across the line of what I know to be right, and my emotions are pulling me, and I'm just about ready to make a decision, that if we stop and allow God once again to refill us, when we stop and begin to realize again, oh, wait a second, I am transferring authority back again. That we stop for a moment and remind ourselves that, wait a second, this is not my will, but it is His will. One of the ways we quote Scripture is what Jesus did, that we quote Scripture, and there's a power that coming from God's Word in our life. When we begin to stop and pray, I'm telling, this sounds silly, but I'm telling you, this works, that in the moment of temptation, when your heart would lead you, if you would stop in the moment and begin to pray, begin to ask God, God, once again, would you refill me? Once again, would you allow your salvation to just sweep over me? Once again, God, I just transfer all that I have to you. It's your authority. It's your, there is something that happens to us, both emotionally, both physically and powerfully, that we are able to face temptation, not because of our strength, not because of our emotions, not because of our wisdom, but because there is something that has protected us. And it goes all the way back, that was paid on Calvary. It says, I've bought and paid for your salvation. It's protection. It's there for you. It can stand up in the face of anything. Take advantage of it. Put on the armor. Put on the helmet. Put on the helmet. It's coming against you. It would try to deceive your mind to say, oh, it's okay. It's not going to hurt me. It's okay. It's just for a moment. It's okay. I'm stronger than that. I'm bigger than that. It's okay. It's not going to hurt anything. It's okay if I just do this once. It's okay if I just skip this one time. God is saying, I've given you something. And it goes back. Transfer authority. Allow God to refill you again and watch what happens. I'm not just saying rhetoric. I'm talking in actuality, that as you're facing the temptation, if you would just stop in the moment and begin to pray, begin to seek God, not some patty cake prayer, but I need a salvation prayer. I need a complete transfer of authority prayer, that you can overcome. You can face the challenge. You can walk through, and having all done all that you do to stand, that it came against me, but I stood. That it almost knocked me down, but I stood. My emotions would take me to another direction, but I stood, not because of my mind, but because of the mind of Christ in me, that I reminded myself again that it is His authority, His power, His strength that gives me what I need to move as I need to move. My body feels like it's given in. But the truth that I have in the mind that God has given me, that God is greater. My heart says it's all falling apart. But my mind of Christ says that God is still in control. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'm closing with this beautiful passage, just summarizes this whole thought. That these things we also speak, not in words which man wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. He's saying this. He says, this is more than just your mind. It's a thought thing. We're moving beyond the emotions, but it's more than just your mind. There's something more. But the Holy Spirit teaches comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things. Yet he himself is rightly judged by no man. What he's saying is this. He says that God's way, to the common sense, makes no sense sometimes. To God's way, so we look at what God would tell us and where God would lead us, sometimes it makes absolutely no logical sense. And if you try to just think about it, it seems like foolishness. You mean tithing blesses my income? How does that work? You mean if I give away what I want to keep, then God increases what I have, but wouldn't it be better if I just kept what I have to begin with? It makes no sense. But those of you that understand the principle of authority, tithing isn't a money issue. Tithing is an authority issue. It's a spiritual issue. It's his way. What we were just talking about. You mean you're faced with a challenge and you're just going to stop and pray? What's that going to do? How's that going to help? You're faced with a situation and you quote scripture and verses from passages that are thousands of years old. That makes no sense at all. But see, God's way is above our way. And there's something supernatural that happens. And look, he goes on, look at this. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. When I allow my authority and my mind to be superseded by his mind, I can go beyond what I know and rely upon his direction. Please understand this, that the battle between the heart and the mind still rages. There is still going to be that battle there. But God is telling us, he's saying, look, I want to give you direction. I want to give you protection. That as our emotions would try to override, as we would try to follow those feelings that would take us into dangerous areas, take us to down roads that we don't want to mind, that we're going to fall back on what I have given you. But what I have given you, I have increased and I have blessed and I have made it my own. I have given you something more than what you even had. That if you follow me, if you transfer authority and go back as the pattern of salvation, watch what I can do in your life. Watch how I can lead you. Watch how I can guide you above and beyond your own wisdom. How many have ever, that in the moment you felt God's leading and you knew that God was directing you down a path, and it went against your emotions? Wasn't something that was emotionally pleasing. It might have been a hardship. It might have been something that was a sacrifice. But yet you knew that God was leading and you saw on the other end of how it all worked out and God's blessings and God's promise and God worked through. And you stay back and say, I could have never known that. But see, I don't have my own mind. It's God's mind. I don't have my own way. It's his way. That don't let your actions define. I mean, don't be defined by how you feel. Throughout this year, there's going to be highs, there's going to be lows. There's going to be times when you feel like coming to church. There's going to be times when you don't feel like even being a Christian. There's going to be times when you love your family. There are going to be times when you don't love your family as much. There's going to be times when you feel great and you just want to celebrate and praise and just thank God for his goodness. And there are going to be times when you can't even see the bottom. and your emotions will lie to you. Your emotions will deceive you. When we're going great, our emotions tell us, you don't need God. Hey, your things are going great. When it crashes, our emotions tell us, where's God? But allow the tension. But we say, oh, wait a second, God gave me another option. My emotions are there. We're going to talk about the right place for those. But God gave you a mind to lead, a mind that says, it doesn't matter what my circumstances are, I'm going to follow him. It doesn't matter what my circumstances say, I'm following him. I know that he is able, and his helmet of salvation is my protection. My protection. Transfer authority. Transfer authority. It's his way. And allow his way, his word, his promises and principles to guide us. Not our heart, not our mind, but his way. And watch what happens. If you would do that next year, then when you faced a circumstance that you didn't know what to do, and you just simply said, well, okay, I would do what God would want me to do. When you face something, he's like, well, you know, I may not be the best thing, but, you know, it just seems like it'd be fun. But you say, well, wait a second, I'm just going to stop, and I'm going to do what God would have me to do. What kind of year could 2016 be for you if you just simply decided that every crossroad, I'm going to take God's path? You think it would be a blessed year? Do you think it would be a protected year? Do you think it would be a year where God grew you and used you and did great things in your life? God wants to do that. And he's reminding us again, don't let your heart be your guide. Your emotions are going to lie. Don't even rely upon your own wisdom, but I've given you the protection. It's the helmet of salvation. And it's all about transferring authority. And we follow him. Can we stand? God, in your name, I thank you for the power of your word and the power of your authority. That your word is able. That your word is strong. God, help us to grasp this. I know this was a deeper topic. I know this was, we got into some deep things here, but that's where the riches of your word comes from. God, help us to realize that we can stand. We don't have to be a slave to how we feel and our emotion, but we can stand because you've given us the helmet of our salvation, of our ownership, transferring our authority to you. God help us. God help us. I can't think of a better way to end tonight for us to just once again transfer authority. Okay, God, it's all yours. Here's everything I have, God. Here's everything that's mine. And allow God to once again just wash over you. The God to remind you, I'm renewing your mind. I'm giving you my mind. And watch what I can do with somebody that follows me. This altar's open. Why don't you come? Just turn it over to God and allow him to take control of your life.